Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Cruise Control with Jonathan and Christian Cruz, only on MSL.
People. So, guys, welcome back. Chris Cruz, did you say what's up to the people?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Welcome to Cruise Control. Hope you guys are ready for another great episode, because we're ready to entertain. So, guys, let's get to it.
That's right. So, the topics we'll be talking about today, guys, we'll be talking about the Miami Dolphins fire coach Joe Philbin. We're going to be talking about an 11-year-old that murdered an 8-year-old. And we're going to be talking about Stephen A. Smith. What's he saying about Kevin Durant? So let's get started. Let's start with the Miami Dolphins, guys. They just fired their head coach, Joe Philbin, after a 1-3 start this season. In my opinion, this needed to happen. The Dolphins haven't really looked like a playoff team, and especially this season, they got some pieces that we all thought they were going to be scrappy, make them scrappier, make them a contender for the playoffs, which by no means are they out of the race, but they look like they are not even trying to be in the race. After an embarrassing loss against the New York Jets last week, 27-14 loss, I mean, I think this had to happen. What do you think?
I mean, you know, if you're not winning in sports, you're likely to be replaced. It's not like it's his first year. He's already in his third, fourth year, but I would have at least let the season run its course and maybe made a move in the offseason. I think this was a little sudden. It's still early in the season. Yeah, they've taken some bad losses, but they can always regroup and pull it together. I mean, we've seen teams like the New York Giants who were pretty much like 0-5 at one point and then went on and made a great playoff run and ended up being Super Bowl champs. I mean, I'm not saying the Dolphins will do that or can do that. I mean, I have faith in them, but what I'm trying to say is I think it's a little early to fire Coach Joe Philbin. I know the coach is always the first one to get the axe. It's better than, you know, replacing your star players, but I think it was a little sudden. I mean, all I can really say is that I want to give the Dolphins a shot this year. I'm not ready to write them off yet. I know their record isn't great right now, 1-3, but I still have faith in them. You know, I'm ready to watch them on Sunday and always cheer for them going forward.
Yeah, I mean, owner Stephen Ross fired Joe Philbin on Monday, a day right after the embarrassing loss to the Jets and they played the game in London. So right now, to the tight ends coach, Dan Campbell, he will serve as the interim head coach for the Miami Dolphins while they're heading into its bye week. And then they have another tough decision to make to see who's going to become the permanent head coach, whether they stick with Dan Campbell or if they find somebody else. I personally think they need to find somebody else, but they can't keep getting back these old Dolphins or anyone like that. I think they need someone new and fresh and someone that's going to stir it up, because right now the Dolphins don't look like they're trying to win. It's embarrassing how the loss went. And, yeah, 27-14 loss, you're like, that's not that bad. But the Jets had plenty of chances to blow it open. It was their offense that let them down. But the Dolphins pretty much gave away the game with all the penalties that they had. And they got off to a slow start as well, again, this game. And it seems like every game they're getting off to a slow start. So, and a 1-3 record is looking meek. And I felt like that was one of the games they had to win. Yeah, the Jets are a pretty decent team this year. But I feel like the Dolphins had a good shot of winning that game, and I feel like they're letting it slip out of their hands. And by all means, guys, they can turn it around, but I just don't see that happening.
I mean, I agree with you. They don't look as good this year as they have in the past years. I know that in the past years they haven't made the playoffs either, but at least they were scrapping and competing in most games. Last year, they were close to making the playoffs and lost a lot of close games. And I agree with you that this year, they might not be as scrappy as in previous years, or at least not be in games as close or until the end. But I have faith in them. I like the team. I mean, they haven't come around to the point that I would prefer, but I do think you let them play together a little bit, and maybe they'll make some magic happen. I mean, yeah, the Jets loss was a toughie to take, to say the least, but I don't know if firing the head coach was the greatest move. I want to see what the new interim head coach is going to do. I don't think it's going to make much of a difference. Obviously, even if he performs at a decent level, like to the point where they may be at 500 at 8-8 at the end of the year or something, or maybe he goes 9-7, who knows. I still think even if he has a good year, they're going to replace him with the coach that they actually believe in.
Well, I do think it was the correct decision to fire him. I mean, Philbin, at the point he got fired, finished with a record of 24-28.
You don't think it was a little rush, though? You don't think it was a little rush
not.
To just fire him?
I do not. I think that he's going to get fired at some point this season. I think it was the right move to do it earlier rather than later and see if they still have a chance to come back from this. Philbin finished with a record of 24-28, which is a losing record. I mean, and Ryan Tannehill, who seemed like he was on the cusp of being a great starting quarterback or about to turn the corner, seems to have regressed this season. So, I mean, and Ndamukong Suh, someone that they paid $114 million to get, a six-year contract, has looked like he doesn't even want to be there. He looks like he wants to do his own thing, doesn't want to listen to the coach. They need someone who's going to demand respect, get the players to follow the game plan, all get on board. And it looks like Ndamukong Suh just wants to be a one-man team just to be there. I think he just came to Miami for the money. It doesn't look like Philbin was getting the respect or the play out of him that, you know, we expected Ndamukong Suh would do. Ryan Tannehill just seems to be regressing this season. Doesn't like he in the past couple years, he looks like he was on the brink of becoming a good, like, solid quarterback that's able to win games. And yet this season just looks like he's regressed. And at some point, you got to blame it on Tannehill and blame it on the coach. And I feel like if they had the right coach, Tannehill would take that next step. So I think this was a good move. But according to the manager or the person who fired Joe Philbin, he says, "This was a tough decision for me to make, knowing how tirelessly Joe worked on in his 4 years here to make this a winning team." Ross said in a statement, "He is a man of the highest character and integrity that I developed a close personal relationship with. I'm extremely disappointed with how we have started the season, but I feel confident that we can improve quickly with the talent we have on our roster. We will soon be announcing an interim coach to lead the team going forward." And as we know now, that was Dan Campbell. So, for right now, I mean, I personally agree with this move.
I mean, I'm going to hold my judgment. I didn't like the move when I heard about it, that they fired that coach. I'm more of the type to, at least from the benefit of the doubt, play through the whole season, see how it goes. I know every professional sports team is a win now mentality, which is fine. I know he, in the past like 3 years or so, however long he's been the head coach for the Dolphins, he hasn't had the greatest winning record, but I do think he's done a decent job. And I mean, maybe at least wait till after the season to decide whether you want to look for a new head coach. But I guess they just did it this early to see what the interim coach can do and then already start looking for a head coach to be ready for next year, I guess. But I guess we're just going to have to wait and see what the Dolphins do this year, Jay. That's all we can say about it.
All right, then. So the next topic, guys, we're going to be talking about is a sad topic. We're going to be talking about an 11-year-old boy who is accused of murdering an 8-year-old girl. And let's find out why. So the 11-year-old boy who was accused of murdering the little girl, he pretty much murdered her because she wouldn't let him play with her puppy, which is a horrifying reason. I don't know what goes through people's minds. Nowadays, like me and my brother have spoken about previously in our show, people will kill you for anything. The fact that an 11-year-old boy already had the idea of murder in his mind boggles. I can't even stand it. Like, when I was 11, I never thought of hurting someone else or killing someone else. And the fact that he did, it's kind of scary.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that, but I can see it in a number of different ways. You know, it's hard to fathom the idea that children so young can, like, murder someone else. It's not the first time you hear a story like this. But my way of thinking is like, the media and what he's exposed to blame, like, being, like, exposed to, like, violence and death and like that would give him the idea to do something like that and make it seem like maybe it's not a huge deal. I mean, do you think that could possibly be it? Or, I don't know, is it the way he's raised? Is it what he's exposed to? How did that even come to pass? It's just crazy to me.
Yeah, let me read you the story a little bit. So an 11-year-old boy, he's facing first-degree murder charges after he allegedly shot and killed a child because she wouldn't let him play with her puppy. So this happened in Tennessee, White Pine, where the 8-year-old victim, who was Michaela Dyer, she lived next door to the young man who shot her. The name hasn't been released to the press, so I don't have that for you guys. But I just want to know, how did this boy have access to a gun where he just goes, grabs it, and shoots the girl because she didn't let him play with the puppy? And like I said, I just don't understand how the first thing that comes to mind is, oh, I need to get back at her, let me kill her. I mean, but the story goes on to where the parents say that when they first moved to White Pine, the little boy was bullying Michaela. So it's not the first run-in that she's had with the little boy. He was making fun of her, calling her names, just being mean to her. They had to get the principal to have him stop. But the cops, you know, later on in the story say that the last straw came when Michaela refused to let him play with the puppy. Each of the children had a puppy. The sheriff said the 11-year-old wanted to see the 8-year-olds, and she said no. And then he went and retrieved a gun. The boy fired the 12-gauge shotgun from inside of his house, striking the girl as she stood in her yard, according to the sheriff. The gun, which was stored in a closet without locks, belonged to the boy's father. And then the girl was later pronounced dead at a nearby hospital. And the 11-year-old boy is currently being held in a juvenile detention facility. But according to the Washington Post, the case could be transferred to an adult criminal court. So that's a little bit of background on this boggles my mind. First off, if you're the father to that little boy, why would you keep a gun? Or if you're a father or a parent to any child in the household, why would you keep a gun just lying around when you hear about accidents happening all the time where kids shoot themselves because they got access to the gun by accident? It's crazy. I mean, you know, by all means, people have the right to carry a weapon, especially in their own home. But he has to keep it safe and locked up to where no child can get to it. I mean, I believe the father is just as responsible as the little boy. But, again, it's just scary how this kid just thought of shooting the girl because she didn't let him play with or pet her puppy, which this kid, it seems to me like he's had aggression issues or mental, you know, issues from the get, because he started bullying the little girl as soon as they got there. So you can say kids will be kids, but, I mean, if he constantly bullied her and then went to the extreme of shooting her, he had some mental problems or mental health issues.
I mean, something should have been done. You know, as cute as that puppy must have been, no reason to shoot her.
And yeah, it's the puppy's fault.
Yeah, it has to be the puppy's fault. But, I mean, I agree with you. I think the father is just at fault. I mean, he should have known better than to leave a gun unsecured to where a child can have easy access to it. I mean, it brought it to a point, yeah, the child is the one that fell. He's the one that went and got the gun and shot the girl. And he should take responsibility for his actions. And I don't know if I'm one to say, yeah, try him as an adult. But that's, you know, that's for another discussion. But it just, it, it boils my blood to hear that, because she was an 8-year-old girl, and then regardless of age, he should face consequences for his actions. And I think, you know, I feel like everyone's entitled to do what they want as long as they don't harm anyone else. And what he did, I think, is inexcusable. I mean, she was a child. She had her whole life to look forward to. And then because of a puppy, because she wouldn't let him play with her puppy, most likely because he was a jerk to her, he went and shot her. And now he ruined both of their lives. Well, her life ended, and he ruined his life, because now he's going to probably be in jail for a long time, or prison for a really long time.
Yeah, and quite honestly, I think he should be charged as an adult. But that is my last opinion on it, guys. So that's the first of the half of our show, guys. We're going to move on to commercial break, and we'll be back with the next topic after commercial break. So stay tuned. Stay with us in Cruise Control. Later.
Interested in being a sports writer or a lifestyle writer for Miami Sports and Lifestyle? Or how about being that next great radio personality? Hit up at 305 Sports and Life on Twitter for more information.
Interested in advertising or sponsoring with MSL? Working for MSL as a writer? Even having your own radio show? Or do you have more of a business mind and want to bring your talents down here to South Beach? That's right. MSL has a big-ass help on the sign up. Writers, radio personalities, marketing directors, website managers, positions are open. Apply today and make this money. Miami Sports and Lifestyle, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a campaign underway. Let's give Miami the exposure that it deserves via Miami Sports and Lifestyle. MSL to ESPN. Love it, know it, support it.
Attention Miami, MSL is looking for writers for the Miami Dolphins, Miami Heat, Miami Marlins, Florida Panthers, Miami Hurricanes, and Florida International University Panthers. If you are interested, contact Stephen Ur at Stephen_Ur@yahoo.com for details. Join the MSL team today.
We at MSL have a new blog site underway, miamisportsandlife.wix.com/MSL blog for all your content surrounding Miami sports. Official site coming soon.
This is Andrew Powell, host of the Andrew Powell Show and the CEO, founder of Miami Sports and Lifestyle. As you all know, I talk about marijuana a lot on my show. I do consider myself an advocate for the legalization of marijuana. And why? Because this is a medicine that helps so many different diseases, including cancer. And if it were legalized, it could eventually form a cure for cancer. And we've all been affected by cancer before with family members. We need to legalize medicine because not only does it help out cancer, but it helps out so many different diseases. So many. We need to legalize cures. And not only that, but legalizing marijuana would decrease black market control and crime and increase tax revenue to give this country's economy a boost. And we all know we need that. This is a beautiful plant that should have never been made illegal in the first place. But because of racism, lies, and greed over the almighty dollar, it's now illegal. And patients and peaceful marijuana smokers suffer everywhere, even in 2015. We need to legalize medicine. We need to legalize peace. Let's legalize marijuana 2015.
The views expressed by Andrew Powell are of Andrew Powell and Andrew Powell alone, and not the company and staff of Miami Sports and Lifestyle. The Andrew Powell Show brings you a fresh sports talk show that stands out above the rest. Tune in Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m., only on MSL Radio.
Play Action Sports League. They are signing up teams for the end of summer adult flag football leagues. You can either go Wednesday nights under the lights at Armbrister Park in Coconut Grove, or you can go Saturday mornings at Coral Gables High School. Does your team have what it takes to be a champion? For more info, you could go to www.playactionsports.org, or you could call 305-397-5632. Once again, that is www.playactionsports.org, or you could call 305-397-5632. 5632.
now listening to Cruise Control with Jonathan and Christian Cruz, only on MSL Radio.
Welcome back from commercial break, guys. You guys are listening to Cruise Control. You're with your hosts, Jay Cruz and Chris Cruz. Chris Cruz, say what's up to the people. All right. Apparently, Chris Cruz doesn't say want to say what's up to the people. So,
hey, guys.
What
welcome.
You, now you
I
say
mean,
what's
hey,
up
guys.
To the people?
Yeah, now I'm saying what's up. I mean, I was a little late. I mean, no need to skip me. That's so rude.
Hey, people. How you guys doing? Welcome back to Cruise Control.
That's
apparently,
it, I'm
he
done.
Was taking a nap.
That's all I wanted to say.
Apparently, guys who were taking a nap don't know what he was doing. But we're moving on to our next topic. We're going to be talking about Stephen A. Smith, who is openly talking about Kevin Durant. Guess what would happen, guys? So have you been keeping up with this, Chris?
I have no idea what he said, but if it's anything disrespectful to Kevin Durant in any way, I disagree with whatever he said.
Well, apparently Kevin Durant is a liar. So let me tell you how this all started. All started when Stephen A. Smith said that he was hearing that if Kevin Durant doesn't stay in Oklahoma City, that L.A. is his primary target or landing spot, as opposed to either Miami, which is South Beach, or even his home of Washington, because, you know, Kevin Durant has a home in Washington. So a lot of speculation has gone on to say that he might either go to Washington or South Beach, which is Miami. But after Stephen A. said that, KD went on and said that he doesn't talk to Stephen A. Smith at all. No one in his family does. His friends don't. So Stephen A. Smith is a liar. So from then on, things got a little worse. And Stephen A. said whether he likes it or not, while he's here and long after he's gone, it's time to get used to it. Don't know what he meant by that, but that's a statement that he issued on Twitter. Then he took it a little step farther, which he said, I will respond to at KD and at First Take right now, then later too on my radio show. Like I've said repeatedly, I hide from nobody. So he's pretty much trying to call out Kevin Durant, saying that if Kevin Durant wants to see him, let's go. So to me, that's a little bit threatening, trying to threaten Kevin Durant. But things get a little worse because I'm not going to quote you what he said, guys, but if you saw First Take, Stephen A. went on probably a 10-minute rant about him calling Kevin Durant a liar, because he was really upset, stating that Kevin Durant is questioning his credibility and that he's interviewed Kevin Durant before, he's had pleasantries with Kevin Durant, and he doesn't appreciate Kevin Durant questioning his credibility, and Kevin Durant's lying because Kevin Durant has told him some things. And he has his sources that he's heard from that have said this. So, but he goes on further in further detail on a 10-minute rant. And if you want, you guys can watch it on YouTube or somewhere. But it's pretty much a 10-minute rant. But in my opinion, he's pretty much calling Kevin Durant out.
I mean, he is. Kevin Durant went and called him a liar first, and then Stephen A. said Kevin Durant's a liar. So this is a bunch of he said, he said. I mean, I agree with Stephen A. Like, why would he make this up? His job is on the line. If he gives false, like, accusations without any real credibility, like, when you're a reporter like that, you can't just do that. The people won't take you seriously anymore. It could hurt your network. It could hurt your show. But so I would, and Kevin Durant would look bad if he did say he would leave to go to, like, L.A., Washington, Miami, whatever. So maybe he wants to keep that under wraps until he makes, like, a final decision. So, I
but
mean,
he shouldn't have
story,
said anything.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. In this story, I believe Stephen A. And, I mean, but I don't think I think it looks bad for Stephen A. to go ahead and kind of call him out, like, on the air like that.
Well, I agree with Stephen A. If someone questions your credibility or your job, that's his livelihood, just like Kevin Durant's livelihood is basketball. Kevin Durant knows that Stephen A. is a journalist, knows that he goes on TV giving his opinions or giving his sources, or not the names of his sources, but things that he's heard. Now, Kevin Durant should have never said anything to begin with if he didn't want to get it now. First off, I blame this on Kevin Durant. Stephen A. Smith, it's his job to give details and what he's heard and what he's been told. That's his job. This is his livelihood. And Kevin Durant pretty much took a jab at his livelihood, trying to – that can hurt him. Now, whether – Kevin Durant, he is one of the best players in basketball. No matter what Stephen A. says about him, that's not going to change. That's not going to affect his money. It might affect his standing with his teammates, but it's not going to affect his money, and it's not going to affect his game. So I believe this does more hurt to Stephen A. Smith rather than Kevin Durant. I believe this is Kevin Durant's fault. And, I mean, Stephen A. has the right to be upset about this and, you know, go on air, you know, airing the dirty laundry. Not only does it make for good TV, because I can almost guarantee you a lot of people watched it, it's just him getting that out there, you know, trying to stick up for his name.
Yeah, it just reminds me of, like, some bad feuds that have gone on. I mean, we've seen the Skip Bayless, Richard Sherman beef and the whole rant that they had on TV. And now we have something like this with Kevin Durant and Stephen A. I mean, it makes for interesting TV, but I do get tired of seeing this. Why do players insist on calling out analysts? I mean, I guess, you know, it's hard not to when the analysts sometimes attack you and attack your game. But Stephen A. wasn't even doing that. All he really did was point out there that Kevin Durant could possibly be leaving for another destination. It wasn't a huge deal. I guess that hurts Kevin Durant's image. I don't know. But I think this little mini beef or whatever they have going on is pointless. And if Kevin Durant is leaving, I mean, you're going to have to tell your teammates and organization eventually. And if he's not, then everyone will know by you staying. It's not a big deal. You don't have to attack Stephen A. or at least call him out and say he has no credibility and he's a liar. And Stephen A. to keep going with it is a little unprofessional as well. I mean, just say that, you know, your sources are accurate. You don't have to attack Kevin Durant again. I feel like they both could have let this drop. But maybe Kevin Durant is leaving. Who knows? I mean, that's the whole issue. That's the whole point of the story. And nothing's come of it yet. So I guess we're all still waiting to see what happens. Because now if Kevin Durant does leave Oklahoma City, he's going to look like a liar. And then Stephen A. is going to look like he was telling the truth after all.
Exactly. But Stephen A. goes on to say, who is Kevin Durant to question his credibility? That he says Kevin Durant's trying to put him in a jacket so that it looks like it's off Stephen A. But he says Kevin Durant is no friend to the media. And who is Kevin Durant to question his credibility and his sources? Because, again, if you guys remember, in the 2015 All-Star game, to the reporters, Kevin Durant told them, you guys really don't know, expletive, I'm not going to say what it was. To be honest, man, I'm only here talking to y'all because I have to. So I really don't care. Y'all are not my friends. You're going to write what you want to write. So he goes on to say numerous things to these reporters, and I mean, you can tell he doesn't like the media, and you don't have to as a player. That's not your job to like the media. You're out there to perform, but it is part of your job to give interviews, especially if you're a star player. But he goes on to say, you guys are going to love us one day and hate us the next. That's a part of it. So I just learned how to deal with y'all. So obviously he's not a fan of the attention or the media. And I honestly, my final thoughts of this matter, Kevin Durant's lying. And I think Stephen A. Smith was telling the truth, and Kevin Durant just is upset that it got out.
I mean, who knows? We're going to have to wait and see on that one. In terms of being that quote where he said he's not friends with the media, I mean, it's hard. He's right. They love you one day, they don't love you the next. I mean, one day they write that you're the greatest basketball player in the history of the organization. The next day they're saying that you can't shoot or your ice cold or that your game isn't well-rounded. Who knows? That's why these players get upset, because the media is either loves you one day and hates you the next, and there's always a new headline for them to put about you. So it gets a little annoying, it gets a little frustrating. I mean, you just have to put up with it when you're a professional athlete. But sometimes it gets a little hard. So, guys, that about wraps up our whole Kevin Durant thing, don't you think, Jay?
I do think. And this about wraps up our show as well. So we hope that you enjoyed listening to another episode of Cruise Control, and we'll be back tomorrow with another great episode. So see you guys tomorrow. Take care. Have a good night.
Night, guys. Now shut up and drive.